What's up, post show recap? It's Chappelle, and I normally don't do this, but it looks like I am going to be hosting this podcast today to talk to you guys about Never Have I Ever, the hit Netflix show that has just taken my life and just gotten it in the blender. It has me in a chokehold, and I cannot get out of it. I love this show so much, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to talk about it. And with me to talk about this amazing show is Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you?
Oh, so happy. We're finally here. I can't believe it. Like, what a show to talk about, I feel like. So get ready, people. It's going to be wild.
Yes, Sasha, we have to give the people the background of how we ended up here to talk about this show.Asha and I have been DMing each other for about 2 weeks.
Yes.
The show dropped about 2 weeks ago, every day talking about this show.
Yeah, I was just really grateful to have someone to talk to about this, because first of all, no one understands, I feel like, the obsession, because I don't know if we want to out ourselves in how fast we watched season two.
It's a little embarrassing, but yes. I will say that it took me, season two maybe dropped on like a Thursday. And I think I got, or maybe it was like a Friday morning. I think I got an episode in, but then Saturday I was done. I watched all of it in one sitting. And I know Sasha was moving right along with me. I think we were in a race to finish it.
Yeah, because you took a nap and I think I like cooked Shabbat dinner that night. So we both like paused, I feel like, at the same time, even though we're in different time zones. Perfect. I feel like we were like, all right. Unspoken pause. Okay, we're back. And we did finish it, I feel like, in one day. So, you know, if you're like us and you love Davey, you know, welcome, because that's exactly what we're going to gush about.
Yeah. And if you have no clue who Davey is, that is what we're here to talk about. So today we are going to be talking about Never Have I Ever and just giving an overview of why this show has Sasha and I up all day and all night. Texting and talking about this to anybody who will listen, because the obsession is real. And this show, honestly, it warrants that kind of obsession because it's just that good. I remember when I first started watching the show. So I think it premiered in
April 27, 2020.
Yeah, 2020, right in the heart of the pandemic. So I was at home. I had a lot of time and not a lot to do. And it was just me and Netflix. And while there were other things, I think The Circle was out around that time, and Schitt's Creek had just wrapped up or something. So I was watching a lot of Netflix, but this show in particular, I mean, just completely swept me up, and I'd never seen anything like it. Sasha, what about you?
Yeah, so as an Indian American, I actually remember the casting call for this show. Which felt like now years ago. I couldn't even tell you when, but I remember like going around in my circles about this casting call where Mindy Kaling, who is the show's producer, creator, rather I should say, with Lang Fisher, another amazing woman, but Mindy Kaling put out this, you know, casting call and was like, if you're an Indian or, you know, South Asian American, or just in general, if you're South Asian, like, apply. And they actually got 15,000 applications to just for their title character's role. So it's really like, in the like South Asian community, it's been brewing for a while. And then I kind of forgot about it, or, you know, I was like, oh, it's happening. Hope it's not another awkward Indian girl, you know. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But basically, because of the premise of the show, it's, you know, coming of age comedy drama. It's centered around an Asian American girl, an Indian girl. So obviously I'm in. I remember the day it dropped, and I, you know, all my friends and I were like, it's time. We're in it. Let's go. Like, we're represented. So to me, it's been it's been brewing for a while. And then I couldn't believe it. I remember when the trailer dropped, because it's her talking to gods, which again, it's something, I'm Jewish, I'm not Hindu, but I've seen, right, so much, because I grew up in India. And then she's talking about sex. I couldn't believe it. And I'm 30 years old now, but even in 2020, I was 29, and I was like, oh my God, like, will she get in trouble for talking about this? And I was like, right, sorry, it's a show. Sorry, it's not real. Got it.
Oh no, it's very real to us. I definitely don't have the same connection that you have to the character, but this show just stood out to me because there's so many coming of age stories on Netflix. Mm-hmm. The Boys I've Met or Kissed or whatever that show is.
Oh, do all the boys I've loved before.
Yeah, whatever. Yes. None of that stuff appeals to me at all.
Ooh, but for some reason,
the premise of this show just jumped out for me because it wasn't like it wasn't just regular teenage angst, you know, longing glances at each other. The main character of this show, she has a personality. She has a story that she wants to tell, and you have to strap in and be ready for that story. Devi Vishwakumar Vishwakumar mm-hmm. is the main character, and she is everything. Yeah, Devi is like in the preview. I knew I have to watch this show because I have to know what this girl is getting into.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like it, no pun intended, and you'll know why, but, you know, it really hits us with a bang. Like, we start with Devi just being like, I'm an awkward nerd, but I want to get out of it. But it's not like, I need a makeover. Let me get, you know, the hot guy to like me when I take my glasses off and I'm all of a sudden hot. Like, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that. It's very much this, like, she's not conventionally quote unquote attractive on what we see in Hollywood, right? This like beautiful blonde, you know, whatever, Riverdale characters, let's just say. Mm-hmm. And Mindy Kaling actually talked about this in an interview. She said, you know, I wanted to make the opposite of Riverdale, where it's no shade to Riverdale. Like, I have Archie comics from the 60s, I think, at this point in my house, but it's very much the opposite of like, no, we want it to be regular. We wanted to be these like normal, awkward teenagers, like dealing with normal, awkward things. And I don't know about you, Chappelle, but I felt like it makes diversity almost like normal. Like, it's not this like spotlight on like, ooh, look how diverse all our characters are. It just like happens.
Yeah. And the diversity is part of the reason why the show is so good for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have Devi, who's of Indian descent, and she's very much an Indian American. And then you have like some of our other characters. There, of course, her family, who is also, you know, also Indian. But then we have, you know, her potential love interest in Paxton Hall Yoshida, who is Asian American, I believe. And then you have, like, of course, her classmates. And so there's a lot of diversity. It's a show centered around a girl. So that's always good to see. Like, you get to see, like, where the main character is not some guy trying to try out for the football team. You know, it's very different in that way. But it's not to the point where you feel like, okay, they're forcing it. It just feels like this is their natural habitat, because when you have diverse people, they hang out with diverse people. That's just how it is. And so it's fun to watch. And I'm dying to talk about all the ins and outs of it.
Oh, yes. We can totally start like with that. Cause I think, the biggest theme I want to say is like representation, where Never Have I Ever to All the Boys I've Loved Before is like actually starting to have Asian American characters in the forefront. And I think, again, for Never Have I Ever, it almost like takes it out of this like cutesy moment. And it's very much like in your face. Cause I don't know about you. We talked a little bit actually about this when we were DMing, but even though, you know, we're older, we're not in high school, spoiler alert, but, you know, we still can find people to kind of work around, and we're like, oh, that's me. Like, that's who probably I am or was, you know, in high school, in college, whatever. So I don't know, all of these characters would be sides in normal shows, and it's like we are getting their stories, and it's not just about Devi, which is why, like, you'll see when we go into the character development a little bit more, but it's really about every single person. Like, her friends have their own stories, like they're not constantly tied to Devi, and her mom, Devi's mom, has her own story, which gets much better in season two, I will say. And Kamala, the queen, I feel like, you know, also has her own life story. So, and they all connect really well, but I don't know that it's very much like these like nerdy Indian characters, or, you know, or like hypersexualized Indian characters. It's a little bit of all of it.
Yes, and I love to see it. So Devi, being 15 years old, she's in high school. I believe she's going to her sophomore year. Mm-hmm. And something traumatic has happened to her. Her father, Mohan, passes away. And what we see is that she has a very like horrific response to the passing of her father, because he passes right in front of her. And so in that moment, she loses the use of her legs. Davy's basically paralyzed, you know, before we begin the season. And so as she goes into her sophomore year, she's just now becoming the girl who's not in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things she has to struggle with this season.
Yeah. And again, she, and this happens pretty quickly, so we're not like, you know, blowing anything up for you. But this, seeing Davy, I was like, I cannot believe what a hot mess they've made this character. But also like, thank God she's such a hot mess. And she's not this like, again, perfect girl. She's good in school, but I think she has no choice but to be good in school. Mm-hmm. And I definitely remember that pressure from my mom. She's also a South Indian character, which I will say she's Tamil, which is very different from what we're used to seeing. We see a lot of like North Indian characters where, you know, their last names are Singh or, you know, Kapoor, right? Whatever. Even on Big Brother, Rohan Kapoor. So they're all North Indian. So we actually don't get a lot of South Indian representation. So there's a lot of diversity in that as well. And this is allegedly, Mindy says, like her life, how she felt when she grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood in Boston as an Indian woman.
Right. And so, yeah. And see, and that's why I wanted to, of course, talk about this with you, Sasha, because you can give me the cultural significance of, you know, being from South India or, you know, versus North India. Because for me watching the show, I'm just like, oh, my God, I love Davy. She's so cool. You know, but yeah. I think the cultural relevance is there. And, it, you know, you talk about it, you're going to enjoy the show even more. And so hopefully we can bring that to, you know, to the coverage of this when we talk about it today. So. Yes. Davy is dealing with grief, of course. It's a very sad thing that happened to her, but she's also trying to be a regular high school student. So that also is one of the things that helps her develop as a character because she wants to be cool. Most high school students want to be cool, but Davy has a goal. And her goal this year is not only to be cool, she wants to get laid. Davy wants to have the sex. And I, first of all, as a former teacher, was like, oh my God, these kids. It always gets me when the kids on television are like, I want to have sex, like, no, you need to wait. So that was hard for me to watch. But Davy is unstoppable. You cannot stop her. She has a plan and she is going to make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a central kind of thing for Davy is that she's fueled by her rage. So she, when her dad unfortunately passed away, it's now, you know, the grief has manifested itself in rage, which we'll talk a little bit about how the show has used that so perfectly. But another thing, and Mindy Kaling actually said this, that this was really important, that she wanted an Asian American girl to be full of rage, because when has that happened before? It's usually, you know, again, docile, quiet, or in the background, but like they wanted her to have, you know, this conflict and this inner conflict, which I appreciate from Davy. I think in season two, Chappelle, it's a little better where it's almost like channeled, like Kamala, her cousin, channels it and be like, well, what would you do? Got it. So it was like, what would WWDD?
what would Davy do?
Yeah.
You know, I am a lover of the Enneagram. And if for the listeners out there who are familiar, Davy is an 8. She is all about the rage. She's all about the anger. She's a challenger and she knows what she wants and she's going to take it. And she is unstoppable. And I love to see that from a young female character, especially one of Indian descent for sure, because you just don't get that a lot. Mm-hmm. The show is narrated by John McEnroe. Now, John McEnroe is Davy's inner voice throughout this entire series. So imagine a 15-year-old girl, but with like the voice of like a tennis pro in her head. John McEnroe's probably in his 60s. Yeah.
He's 62-year-old, like tennis player. Yes.
Exactly. And so they could have easily picked like a Coco or Naomi Osaka, but they're like, no, bring us John McEnroe because we want you to know that she means business.
Exactly. Which, again, how genius. Because I don't think even in my wildest dreams would I have put these two together, first of all. And then secondly, like how do you know, like, because I read an article about like how did John McEnroe show up and, you know, how did he say yes? And for everyone that doesn't know John McEnroe, he is actually known for his extreme sense of anger. You should look up on YouTube John McEnroe's epic Wimbledon meltdown. It's like he's literally screaming and yelling. So this is like John McEnroe's like brand. So he's known for this. And he actually has a pretty strong sense of justice, which parallels very directly to Davey, where she always wants to do the right thing. And she's like, no, like, this is important, you know, like anger or like justice, rightful anger is her motivator, right, in life. So it actually made perfect sense. And I have to say, because maybe someone out there is wondering, Mindy Kaling actually approached John McEnroe at an Oscar, like after Oscars party, and said, I'm a big fan and I want to pitch you this show. And Mindy just grew up watching him. So she was just like, I think you'd be great at it.
I think she was right. Watching it, it's jarring the first time you hear it. And he even says it. John McEnroe is breaking the fourth wall the whole time. He's like, listen, I'm John McEnroe and I'm doing the voice. You're like, oh, okay. And that's kind of weird. But by the end, you're listening for John McEnroe to give you his point of view, because it's what Davey is thinking. But you need to know that Davey's mind is basically of a 62-year-old man.
100%.
She is perpetually fed up.
Yes.
But are you ready to talk about her family?
Oh, I love it. Let's do it.
Okay. So Davey's, I guess her, one of the main characters that I like to talk about is Davey's mom. Mm. What is Davey's mom's name?
Yeah, it's Nalini.
Nalini. Okay. Yeah. And her mom, of course, is in the same boat as Davey. You know, they both just lost Davey's dad. And her mom is trying to figure out how to be a single parent, deal with the grief, but also be the single parent of Davey specifically, who is fueled by rage, who is going through this turmoil, who is a young Indian girl in a predominantly white neighborhood, a predominantly white school, and a young Indian girl who is dying to go have sex with whomever. Like, she's ready. And so her mom is like trying to hold the house together, as well as parent a child who is basically in grief to the point of turmoil.
Yeah. So this is where my mom and I actually bonded a lot. I moved to this country when I was 14. So I moved the day before freshman year of high school started, actually. And then I showed up to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, accent and all, you know. And I remember like having these rules, as like Nalini has for Davey, where, you know, it's this Asian woman, right, that's like trying to kind of figure out, like, I'm an immigrant, but I need to, you know, I have roots here now, so I need to be a good parent. And the only parenting maybe Nalini has seen is like that very strict, you know, parenting that I'm sure a lot of immigrants are used to, where, you know, you have to get A's, you have to have this, and you have to live your life. Like, I remember, you know, finishing homework, like in school, because again, I moved from India to Oklahoma. I was a little bit ahead of my classmates, I will say. Not anymore, but I was at that time. Then I got lazy. And my mom, when I came home, would make me, because I didn't have homework, because I was just doing it in class while the teacher was teaching, she would make me read my textbooks for an hour then. Like, I had to do something productive. It, like, did not work that I was just home and, like, hanging out, quote unquote. Like, that was impossible.
Yeah. And you could see that a little bit in Davey, for sure. Because Davey's whole thing is that she is the straight A student. She is super competitive when it comes to her grades, and she knows she's the best and you can't tell her different. And I think you're right. A part of that is probably just instilled with her. It's cultural. You know, her mom is telling her, like, you got to do these things, and that's it. And it that is deep inside of Davey, because she does not like to lose at all. And so even when it comes to the grades. So yeah, seeing her mom and the dynamic that they have, it's one of the more touching parts of the series for me. Like, this is very much a comedy, but the things that happen between Davey and her mom, there's a lot of comedy there, but a lot of it is very, like very much a tale of grief and how you deal with the loss of someone as close as a father or a husband, and, you know, what that means for a child. A lot of these a lot of these like coming of age stories, we always get the child's point of view, but we rarely get what the parent is going through. And this show does a good job of encapsulating that as well.
Yeah. And I will say for season one, it was really hard for me to connect with the mom because I was like, oh my God, like what a nag. She's constantly like just,
that's,
you know,
a mom.
Yeah, exactly. I think I was probably suffering some PTSD from my own life because, again, I was very much Davey, where I was like, bro, like I was on the track team. You know, I was. Anyway, I was like in every club also, and I was still also trying to have fun. But my mom wouldn't let me out of the house past 9 p.m. and I couldn't definitely not be on the phone past 9 when the free minutes started.
Yes, that's when your minutes is free back in the day. Yep. So I remember the days.
Yeah, and I had to go to bed because she was like, absolutely not. You're not talking to anyone on the phone. So that's why I think I was very frustrated with her. But we do see these like beautiful, joyful moments from Nalini where we see her, I think, riding her husband's motorbike. And then, you know, we see her like breaking down her walls in therapy because she also starts going to therapy with Davey for her anger issues. And, you know, I feel like she's starting to live her best life in season two, where she goes from like this like wild parent that can't control her child to like season two, where she's, I think, able to kind of find her footing in how to be a single parent. And you see, again, not spoiling anything, but see, Davey and her dad were much closer. And they were very much like the pair. And then Nalini was very much like probably, I'm assuming, bad cop a lot of the time. So,
yeah,
you know, Davey is now left with bad cop. And then Nalini also doesn't have someone to be the like good cop. So unfortunately, like that's where a lot of their frustrations come from.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And Nalini has the opportunity to, I guess, parent Davey. But also they have Davey's cousin, Kamala, has moved in with them as well. And I'm going to I have to spoil it. I love Kamala. She's everything. she is everything. I was like, who is this woman? She's so, oh my gosh. This woman is amazing. Kamala is her cousin who moved in, I guess, to go to college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Caltech.
Yeah. And so she's navigating her own struggles. I believe in season one, it's because of her relationship issues. Sasha, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So Kamala, sorry, has moved, from Indiana to Caltech to, you know, get a biology degree. Again, V stereotypical. But again, for South Indians specifically, this is very normal. I'm married to a South Indian, so I can say that I feel sorry about it.
PhD.
Yeah exactly. Because like I remember, and education is very important to these to them. Not that it's not important to most Indians, but like Tamil people, like that is their bread and butter. Again, sorry to give so many personal stories, but at wedding to my Tamil husband in India, I don't speak Tamil. I speak a few languages, but not any South Indian ones, and so I don't know what like the welcome sign says, but I knew that like the top name has to be my husband's because our degrees were on the side. So So his said, you know, like a master's of, I think it's computer. I don't know what the hell, either electric or something
smart,
engineering.
Yeah. Something smart,
like, come on, such a stereotype. And then, mine said like master's MHR, like master's in human relations. So it's very important to them. So I want to like stress that again. I'm obviously generalizing everyone, but this is like for Indians and specifically South Indians, like, you know, a biology degree is very, very, yes, it actually makes a lot of sense. So her like plot in season one is very much that, you know, she's this perfect person. She is, you know, the woman or the child that Nalini maybe wanted, but got, you know, Davey, an American teenager instead. And they actually are trying to get an arranged marriage set up for her. So she's, again, I feel like the most stereotypical character. But even then, she has depth because a girl, it doesn't follow all the rules. She's sneaky, which I love, I feel, where she's a little bit more smart with her, like, defiance, whereas I think Davey is very much like in your face with her defiance. So that's her real name. Sorry. Kamua, yeah, is very much, you know, part of this like family duality. And we get to explore her boyfriend because she has one. And then, sorry, maybe that's a spoiler, but I feel like they say it pretty quickly. Yeah, we get it. And then who's not Indian? And but he's Asian, so that's at least something. And then, you know, so we see her like being this perfect Indian daughter to, you know, all of this stuff. So that's kind of Kamala's like moment and space.
Yeah, and it's driving Davey crazy. Davey doesn't have a lot of time to focus on the Kamala of it all because she's going through her own stuff at school. But make no mistake, every time Kamala does something that would be, you know, a typical, you know, Indian stereotype or something that makes her look good in the eyes of her mother, Davey is seething. Yes.
Davey's there to drag, I feel like, Kamala. Like, which I find really funny because I think Kamala sees Davey as very much like this, like, you know, Chihuahua, where it's like they have a lot of bark, but not a lot of bite. So Kamala, I feel like, pays her zero mind and will just be like, yeah, you're there. Oh, my silly little Indian, and, you know, like American cousin, which I have been called many times.
Oh, no.
Yes, we love it. And I was like, hello, I've only lived here like 14 years. But it's really funny because Kamala, I think, is in her own league. And in season two, we get a lot of her women in STEM issues, which, again, I feel like it's such an amazing trope. Like, if you're going to be a stereotype, this is the stereotype I want you to be.
Yeah, they get into a lot of those issues. When I was advising back in at the university, I would have to talk to students who would be switching their majors from pre-med to pre-law. And I would stare at them for a second and I was like, you know, you don't have to do pre-law, but the subtext there is, oh no, I'm of Asian descent or of Nigerian descent and my parents don't want me to be like, I went to college to be a doctor. I don't want to be a doctor, but nothing else is acceptable except law. And it's like that that next major change is the one where we really lose them, because that's when you're like, I think I want to major in English. When are you going to tell your parents? So
absolutely, I'm not.
Exactly. So we get a lot of that going on with Kamala, and it's fun to watch. But it's also, you know, very telling that women do struggle in STEM fields with their coworkers. Not so much as doing well in the actual field, but navigating these male-dominated fields a lot of times. Next, I want to talk about Davey's friends, okay? I love Davey's friends because they are ride or die. If Davey says, let's go do something ridiculously stupid, they are almost 100% going to say, okay, let's go. They hold her accountable a lot of times for some of the, you know, the things that come out of her being, you know, so angry and impulsive. But they have their own personalities and storylines as well. I definitely want to jump right in and start talking about Fabiola.
Yes.
Played by Lee Rodriguez. Now, Fabiola is, it looks like, of Davey's, I don't think Davey has a hierarchy of her friends, but Davey definitely leans on Fabiola to kind of be the more level-headed of her friend group. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I think also we'll see Fabiola kind of play the middle, like, because there's three of them as friends. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, Fabiola is very much like in the middle. I see all sides. I want us all to be friends. Let's take a moment.
Mm-hmm. And Fabiola has her own struggles this season. Of course, Davey's plan is for them, for Davey to lose her virginity, but also she wants her friends to be cool. And she says the best way that they can figure out how to be cool is to have boyfriends. And so she goes to Fabiola and her other friend, Eleanor, who we haven't talked about yet. She says, okay, I got a plan. You're going to date that guy. You're going to date this guy. And I'm going to date this guy until I can sleep with the guy who I actually want to sleep with. And it sounds like a solid plan for a 15-year-old, I guess. But Fabiola is not into guys. She is actually gay and is just realizing that, like, okay, now I'm going to have to come to terms with this struggle that I've been having with my sexuality because my friends want me to date a guy. And so we get to see Fabiola's, like, her struggles with, you know, her identity, but as well as, you know, talking to her parents about it. She very much has a mom that, you know, she doesn't think would agree with her, her coming out or her, you know, revealing this part of herself. And so that Fabiola largely has to deal with that. That's kind of like her biggest conflict. But another thing is that she's a nerd. Fabiola is into robotics. You want to talk about women in STEM? Fabiola is the next big thing, okay? She's the head of the robotics club.
The moment. Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. And she has an amazing afro. I love it.
Yeah. Fabiola is also an Afro-Latina, which I think, again, is a really underrepresented character, I feel like, where, again, it's not like the sassy best friend, you know, mm-hmm. that like wears hoops and, you know, whatever. I'm making a stereotype again.
No, it's something we see in TV all the time. Exactly. You're 100% correct.
Yeah. Instead, she's a nerd. She loves robotics. Like, that is her, like, she lives it. She breeds it. I don't want to like give too much, but you know, it's a very important part. She even has a robot that she built called Gears Brosnan, I believe.
Yes. James Bond, Gears Brosnan.
So Fabiola is amazing. I also want to say about friendships. Between all three of them, that I believe they do pass the Bechdel-Wallace test, which mm-hmm. is, a measure of representation for women in fiction, where basically it looks at a work to say, like, you know, are at least two women talking to each other about something other than a man, basically. So it's very important to note that that is correct. And, you know, they do talk a lot about losing their virginities because they're 15-year-old girls in high school. That's something they talk about, and they do have their own like drama and issues that they also care about.
Yeah. And one of those things is very much their parents, right? So we talked about Davy and, you know, her struggles with her mom. And we talked about a little bit of Fabiola and, you know, her wanting to be able to come out to her mom. But let's talk about Eleanor now.
Oh, my God.
Eleanor Wong is played by Ramona Young, and she's one of Davy's best friends, of course. But Eleanor's main conflict is kind of with her mom in season one. Mm-hmm. Her mom is trying to be an actress, and Eleanor is very much trying to be just like her mom. She wants to go into acting. She's very much a theater girl, and she has her style of her own. She marches to the beat of her own drum. Davy's like, we want to be cool. And Eleanor, in her mind, is really already cool. Y'all are just catching up. But her mom, the mom issue is tough for me, because Eleanor's mom has decided to go be an actress, and we find out that she does that kind of at the expense of Eleanor. And so, if they're not talking about guys, a lot of it is talking about their parents, and Eleanor has probably one of the most troubling backgrounds with her mom to this point in the season.
Yeah. And in season two, interestingly, they still linger, but in very different ways. And we see Eleanor still exploring her family bonds, even after season one, just in a very, again, like I said, very, I feel like, opposite of what's going on in season one, where I think it gets a little better for Eleanor. I want to spoil that for you all because it's hard. It was really hard to watch. I just watched a recap right before this podcast, and I was like, oh my God, I forgot how sad Eleanor's moment was. And mm-hmm. she is the moment. Like, she's a sensitive theater kid. You know, she also is like, I feel like the first one out of them to be in a relationship, which is also really interesting. Season two gets really stressful in that moment too. But again, I love Eleanor. I feel like I don't have any friends like Eleanor, but like, I really want one of them. Cause like, how like amazing is she? And the actress in real life, I feel like, is very much the same way.
Yeah, I think she's amazing. I don't know if I would want her as a friend. There's some things that she does in that second time around where I'm like, whoa, season two, Eleanor, slow down, pump your brakes. But, this is the team that works for Davy. And I mean, their dynamic is so great to watch. But we can't talk about Never Have I Ever without talking about the boys, Sasha. Is Davy's primary love interest? Like, what is the whole goal of this series for her?
Yes, the iconic, the shirtless, the swimming god, the someone who said, yeah, sure, when Davy maybe was like, maybe this is the person I want to lose my virginity to. I don't know. Let me do something crazy. So it's Paxton Yoshida Hall, played by Darren Barnett. This is the only one I will say. He's much older. And to me, in real life, not on the show. On the show, he's supposed to be the same age. Again, this is spoiling, and I apologize, but she sees him Davey sees him in a parking lot at their grocery store, and that is why Davey starts walking. Again, this happens in episode 1, so I'm not like promise spoiling not too much, but this is like the type of hold he has on her, where he's very much cool guy. But what's, I think, again, amazing about him, he's half Japanese. He's not the like blonde hair, blue eyed, like a protagonist or love interest that every other, I feel like, girl has. But, you know, he's also complicated. He has, you know, a sister who I believe has Down syndrome. Yeah. And, you know, so again, Paxton has like layers to him. But what we see from him first is like, hot guy, cool guy, like with his idiot friends, and you know, living his best life, I feel like.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and you haven't, like, you're not sure you want to watch this, just picture this. Davey, who has suffered this traumatic moment where her father passes away directly in front of her in public. She is confined to a wheelchair because the trauma was just so bad, and we can't figure out what's wrong with her. She's at the grocery store in her wheelchair, and Paxton Hall Yoshida walks by, and Davey can magically stand up. That's how attracted to this kid she is. She is ready right now. She's like, I will walk again. And she does. And the series becomes largely that. Davey has decided to stand up and chase after this boy, and she is going to, I mean, just walk up to him eventually and say, hey, you want to have sex? And like Sasha said, he said, okay, you know. And so you know, that's the kind of relationship that Davey and Paxton have, where she is that drawn to him, where she's like, look, we could just throw all the niceties out of the window and let's just talk about business here.
And Chappelle, I don't know how many Gen Zers you're hanging out with, but I feel like this relationship is what I feel like I imagine a Gen Z relationship. Like, they are primarily on text. Like, you know, they're very much like into, I feel like, and again, like what I could see Gen Z kind of talking and how they interact and how they connect, which like maybe isn't like that much. So it's really like weird to watch them. But when I say weird, I mean like I love to see it. And we definitely don't feel bad for sexualizing Paxton, because he is older and he's legal. So it's okay, people.
Right. Yeah. The actor who plays Paxton is like 30 by the second season. So they're all playing high school kids, but you know, they're adults. And so yeah, so Paxton is the primary love interest. But every good protagonist needs a nemesis. And Davey has who I would call probably one of the best nemesis of all time, and Ben. Ben is great. Ben could have a spinoff if he wanted to. Ben Gross. Yes. This is Davey's, like, when I say nemesis, I mean, this is the person she's been competing with her entire life for supremacy when it comes to grades. We all know those kids that are going to get straight A's all the time, but even those kids have to compete against the other kid who's getting straight A's. Yep. And Davey and Ben have been going back and forth throughout their entire life trying to one-up each other. And here they are, sophomores in high school, I guess starting to make that push towards senior year, and who's going to get into the better college and who's going to get the most scholarship. You know, this is a prime time for competitive academics, and they are at each other's throats in the first season, and it's so fun to watch.
Yeah. And I will say, Ben Gross is Jewish, and that is also a big part of his storyline. And I personally, I'm an Indian Jew, so two for one here. So we obviously know who I ship Davey with. No. But, you know, it's very stressful because they do have a lot of cheap shots on him, I want to say, for being Jewish. And I definitely say I don't appreciate it, because they made like a Holocaust joke. They made, you know, his bar mitzvah, you know, had Blake Griffin, like, because of course, you know, he's very Jewish and rich and hairy, you know, on his arms. Like, they're very Ashkenazi, which is like Eastern European Jewish stereotypes, where he's rich. His dad is a lawyer. He's competitive. He's smart, you know, like very, it definitely plays into that. And for a show that's so nuanced in its diversity, I do feel like they really fall short on how I feel like it's cheap how they have talked about Ben a lot of times.
Yeah, I wonder if they're trying to, you know, maybe highlight some of those more positive traits, and in a way it comes off stereotypical, you know, because we talk about, I mean, we really get into the culture of Davy's family, you know, by season two, we're learning about her grandparents and, you know, things of that nature and some customs. They get more into that side of her. So I wonder if this is like their way of saying, okay, well, let's characterize Ben in the way that's easiest. But, you know, like you said, when it's easy, sometimes it's cheap, you know? And so Ben is very much the rich Jewish boy that is in her class, that is excelling, and that is flaunting his money around. And like, you know, that can be very problematic if done in a way that is not, you know, respectful to the characterization of Jewish people. And so, yeah, the show has a thin line to walk on that. You know, they have to, it's like, you know, there's a way to paint people in a way that's understandable, but then there's also a way to be tacky, and you don't want to do that. But I do think the show does an okay job of it. I'm not Jewish, so if there are offensive things, then I would love for Sasha to call those things out when she sees them, because that's why we do these kind of things. We want to educate, but we also want to have a good time watching shows that we like.
Yeah, exactly. And again, there are a lot of articles y'all should read up on it. Like, it's really bizarre. And Mr. Shapiro, which is an amazing weirdo, like woke but with quotes, I want to say, history teacher, so he's also Jewish, I think, I mean, unless Shapiro, but but you know, Ben comes up with an app called Juber, and it's a ride sharing app to like escape, you know, Jews escape the Nazis, and it's like, and you know, Fabiola's like crush calls out that, you know, it's an app that tells a stranger the exact location of a Jewish person. Like, why? So I, like I said, I will say, like, I do believe season two is better. I don't think that they're doing as well, as bad as, you know, that situation. But I do feel like season one was like cringe in moments where I was like, oh, we did not need that. But it's okay. I think, speaking of good Jewish moments, we do get Ben Gross's narrator to show up in season one.
Oh gosh. And if Davy's narrator is John McEnroe, then they brought in Andy Samberg later on in season one to do the narration for Ben Gross. And so very much leaning into that trope that they were trying to portray by bringing in Andy Samberg to kind of be the adult version of Ben.
Yeah, and there's no like shock and awe, at least for me. I don't know how you felt, Chappelle. Like, to me, that actually makes the most sense, where I was like, yeah, that's exactly who I'd pick for him.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And we get another voiceover in season two, but we won't talk about that one right now. But I do like you brought up Mr. Shapiro. Because he's one of the other just recurring characters. Yes. We have another recurring character who plays a big part in this show as well, and that's Dr. Jamie Ryan. That's Davy's therapist, played by Niecy Nash. And one thing I like about this show is that throughout the entirety of the show, Davy is in therapy. And I think that is very very astute of the show creators to show, because a lot of times we see people deal with grief, but we don't see the backlash of what that means. We just see how they act out, but we don't see people trying to heal. And Davy goes to the therapist, and you know, Davy's 15. So therapy takes a lot of work when you're 15, because 15-year-olds push back against authority and people trying to help them. They're 15. They think they know everything. But throughout the series, Davy's relationship with Dr. Ryan is pretty much just almost as like important as her relationship with her friends, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I very much agree. That's why, and even if you go on Wikipedia, like, Niecy Nash is the first like name you see in recurring characters. To me, it's like, one, give her a main slot, because she is kind of the one that keeps this train on track, like, for everyone. So you'll see, like, Davy's mom actually ends up going to therapy in a second, which, again, I feel like a lot of people of color don't like talk about therapy as openly. So that is another beautiful moment to see. And, you know, Dr. Jamie is kind of keeping things on track, is calling people out. Like, she calls Davy out. And I feel like this is the only person that Davy kind of lets call out without kind of pushing back too much, where she's really trying to be like, okay, you called me out, I got it, whoops, my bad.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where if your parents tell you one thing, it sounds one way because it's your parent and you know them and you're like, oh, stop nagging. So that's Sasha listening to the first, watching the first season. Oh, like, my gosh, Davey's mom, chill. But, you know, but when someone else tells you, you're like, oh, okay, you don't have the same, you know, tie to me that someone else does. So I know this isn't coming from a personal place. This is you coming from maybe a scientific place or maybe like a place of knowledge or just a place of genuinely wanting to help me and not wanting to maybe stop me from having fun or to stifle me in any way or to push cultural norms on me. She feels like this is an outside person. So her advice is something that I probably should listen to. I'm a big advocate for mental health. And I think people of color should, definitely take advantage of that. The problem is mental health is so expensive a lot of times.
Yep.
And so when you have an affordable resource out there to use, definitely use it. I like that this show advocate for mental health and that, you know, it's probably with the help of Dr. Ryan that we even get a season two, because Davey would spiral out of control if there wasn't season one. And Dr. Ryan has her own personality and her own comedy as well. So it's fun to watch. But I like that they shine a light on that part of the world as well.
Davey is just, again, hot mess express. Like, I don't think people understand. If you have not seen this, like, Davey is a mess. And not even that, she asked her therapist to buy her a thong. So that's, like, how unhinged, but very steadfast Davey is. Where she's like, to be cool, one must wear a thong, which must mean my mom ain't going to buy it for me. So the adult in my life is going to be my therapist to do it for me.
She doesn't take advice from everybody. She lives her life by the words of Megan Thee Stallion, you know.
Yes.
And we like that. We like that Davey has an opinion. We like that Davey is showing her point of view throughout the season. But I do like that they cover so much of the other cast and the things that other people are going through. So it's not one dimensional. The show has so many layers, whether it's talking about the family dynamic or the dynamic of the friends or even just a boy and girl dynamic, a girl and girl dynamic. Like, you know, it covers all of those things at the same exact time. And it does it in a way that's fun, that's light, and that it's enjoyable. And it's such an easy watch. I mean, we're crazy people, so we watched it in one day, both times, pretty much.
I will say, I won't name names, but there was another podcaster that did message me that they also moved very quickly through this.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been getting messages all week because we were on the timeline tweeting about it, but trying not to spoil it. But people were texting me like, have you finished it yet? Like, is it done yet? Is it good? So everybody, if that's not enough of an endorsement for you, I don't know what else would be. Check out the first episode and really just if you give it time, right? Just give it the first episode. I promise you it'll grab you because it's so good to watch. Sasha, is there anything else that we need to just that we should be talking about that will just get people into watching this amazing show that we love so much?
Yeah, I just want to say I'm sorry because you are, once you watch one episode, you are going to lose 5 hours of your day. So I just, you know, all I want to say is I'm sorry for it. But am I actually sorry? Because it's more that you're welcome, rather, I should say. But, you know, I don't have much more to say. I just want to say it's a really interesting show where I just couldn't believe how much they've crammed in it. And I didn't realize it while watching. I realized it while I was taking notes for this preview podcast where I was like, oh my God, they talk about this and this and this. How did they do it? And again, the recurring characters are just as punchy as the main cast, which I feel like, Mindy, thank you for blessing us. I tweeted Mindy and she liked my tweet. So we're besties now.
I didn't know that. Yes. Let's go.
I tweeted her just saying thank you. And then season two, Common shows up. Everyone. Beautiful, yes. Man.
The rapper. We know how Sasha loves love and hip hop. And I guess there's love and hip hop in season two because Common shows up as well. And I won't talk about what in what realm, but he's definitely there throughout the season, and it's fun to watch. You know, we like when they keep it light, but like Sasha said, it's like it wasn't preachy. I didn't feel like someone was trying to teach me something or that someone was trying to get like a message across. It was just I was watching a show that I thought was funny, and then halfway through I thought it was stressful, and then halfway through I thought it was sad, and I got really really happy, and then the season ended. I was like, wait, hold on, pause. When is the next season? So season two happens. I'm like, no, I am not going to rush through this. I'm going to savor this. Maybe I'll just watch one episode a day. Boom. I thought I was dead wrong. And now I'm tweeting Ben Gross, Levinson, what's his name? Jared Levinson?
Jared Levinson.
I'm tweeting him in the middle of the night, like season three or else. Like, I need it now.
He actually talked a lot in some interviews saying, like, people were dragging him saying, I'm going to sue you if, like, what I want doesn't happen. Like, points people are invested in this. Me included, because I'm just like, how dare they only give me 30-minute episodes on this? Like Bridgerton, at least you're getting a whole hour. So you're like, wow, I can feel it. I'm living it. Here, you're giving me 30 minutes? That's it. How dare you, Mindy Kaling? Yeah.
And some of the episodes don't even feel like they're 30 minutes because they're so packed with so much good stuff. Like, there are some episodes where I'm like, whew, this is kind of heavy. I actually wish we were moving a little bit faster through this part because I'm feeling things. Are you sad? Are you happy? What's happening here?
And Helen and I definitely messaged each other during episode 9. So I of season 2. So again, just, you know, grab whatever you need to grab for episode 9, season 2, because we were both like, you know, we're going to be strong, you know, and we're both trying not to admit, but it's hard. And, you know, there are a lot of moments actually in season 1, 2, where you're seeing grief. And I think you see a lot of your own grief, even whatever grief you have, you know, in your own life. It doesn't have to be loss of a parent, but, and you see that manifested, and then something will come up for you. So, like I said, I don't know how they do it, but it's just a brilliant show. And, like, we know Mindy Kaling's brilliant. Like, we got The Office, we got The Mindy Project. So it's obvious that that's, you know, happening. So just thank you, Mindy. And I, as an Indian woman, you know, just want to say, like, how appreciative I am of her and, you know, Netflix for making this happen and just so showing this culture in such a confident way where it's not this, like, again, thing that happens on the side, like season 1, Ganesh Puja, which is like a big part of the, I think, one episode. But, you know, like, Davy's mom makes a joke about, like, it's a rite of passage to be itchy in a sari. And I was like, you know what? Damn it. Cause it's true. And how dare you, you know, drag me like that.
Felt seen and attacked at the same time.
God. And like, I never wore a sari until I got married. I will say, yeah. And I fell. I literally, because I've never worn a sari. I usually wear like a lehenga, which is a skirt and a crop top. So I'm wearing a sari because, you know, we're in a Tamil Nadu and we have to look good and we got to look like, you know, we're good. Not good, an innocent little bride. And sorry. And I will say it was wild to walk, and I tripped. And thankfully, my sister-in-law caught me, because imagine that on video. So Davy is, again, me. I feel like I'm Davy. Like, it's just thank you to the creators for making such a smart show and not, like, shying away from those moments.
Yeah, and I think with that, we have to thank Post Show Recap for letting us talk about this show. We definitely want to promote anybody to watch this show. First of all, any show that is outside of your worldview, outside of your cultural norm, check it out. You never know what you'll learn or what you'll like from the show. I definitely had never seen anything like it, and I loved every second of it. I crammed it into 2 days, basically, and I've seen season one more times than I would admit, three. And see, I can't watch season 2 again yet because it was too stressful, but I'm going to come back to it, I promise. And with that, I'd like to say that Sasha has her own podcast, and maybe a season 2 rewatch is upon us. Sasha, what you got coming up?
Yes. Thank you, Chappelle. So we feel that we have blessed you and we have given you a little taste, or, you know, a little prasad, as we say in India, where you came to the altar. We've given you a little bit of the blessing, and you've consumed it. And now we're actually going to invite you to the buffet. So follow Silent Podcast on YouTube and on Twitch, because Chappelle and I will be covering season 1 and 2. So, you know, you're welcome, everyone, where we're going to probably do two episodes per podcast. Again, they're 30 minutes. It's pretty quick. And we'll have guests, probably people you know, on there as well, on Silent Podcast. And I also cover Survivor South Africa there as well. And Are we promoting? I don't know. Is this the wrap up?
No, yeah. Do your plugs. Yeah. Tell, what do you? What else like, you got coming up?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And next week, because you cannot get enough of Chappelle and us, obviously. So Chappelle will be my guest for the Love and Hip Hop Atlanta podcast, which is new to Wrap Ups. This will only be our second episode. So watch episode one with the amazing Bryce. And now I'm going to have Chappelle. So I feel like I am being blessed by amazing podcasts. So please listen to it. Get excited. I'm only going to have bangers as guests, obviously. about you, Chappelle?
Oh, okay, Sasha. I can't lie to you. I got a busy week coming up. Yes. So today we recorded the RHAP Rewind that will be released on Monday, where Rob and I on Rob Has a Podcast was joined by Jenny Autumn to talk about The Average Joe, a classic reality show from 2003. We got into that today, and that'll be released next week early. Tomorrow, I'll be recording on the Wrestling Rehab Up with Matt and Mari and my newly founded tag team partner, D. Jacob Jones. So that is going to be a hot mess.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Hot mess express for sure. And so, yeah, that's going to be fun. Hopefully, we don't get canceled because Jacob Jones is a mess. I will also be guesting on a different podcast network for the duo Sports and Stuff podcast with Deontay and Dane, where they talk about sports and nerdy culture and more things of that nature. And so that kind of fits into my worldview. So I'll be there to help them out. The aforementioned Bryce Isaiah has invited me on the Purple Pants podcast to talk about Space Jam 2. So that will be probably recorded at some point next week. I believe I'll be on the Big Brother recap for the Wednesday's episode on Rob Has a Podcast to talk about the after show of this third week of Big Brother. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm dying to talk about my queen, Tiffany. Of course, I'll be joining Navi and Felipe to talk about Phineas and Ferb on the What You Doing podcast. So I don't talk to a lot of Gen Zers, but I get to next week. So I have a very, very busy week ahead of me. But I'm very excited to talk to Sasha specifically about this show that we love so much. And it's been a wonderful time talking to y'all today. Sasha, you have anything else you want to add?
No, just check out 90 Day Fiancé and Love Island. I forgot that I did those this week. Sorry, everyone.
Two people in the world.
Oh my God.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah, this never happens for me. You know, I feel like being in your community has rubbed off. On me. So, you know, just follow us on Twitter and you'll know what we're doing, basically. The answer.
Basically, yeah. We'll make sure to tweet all that up. You just got to make sure you follow us. Sasha is at funsize_04 and I'm at Chappelle's_show on Twitter. And follow the Solid Podcast as well for updates on our coverage of Never Have I Ever Season 1 and Season 2. Sasha, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Can't wait till we do it again very soon, apparently.
Yes, I'm so excited for this. Like, honestly, I'm grateful that you slid into the DMs and we had this conversation because, oh my God, this was pure joy.
Had to. And for the listeners of Post Show Recaps, if you have any questions or if you want any more information, you feel free to tweet us and send us your questions and we could talk about it on the podcast. That should wrap everything up. Thank you guys for listening and tune in to the Silent Podcast for more coverage of Never Have I Ever. Talk to you guys later. Bye.